Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Live with Lon. We're so glad that you've joined us. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. And let me wish you a happy new year coming up. And we're all hoping that 2021 is a completely different year than 2020 for so many reasons. So let me lead us in prayer and let's commit this brand new year to the Lord. Here we go. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful love and faithfulness to us, even through a very tough year like 2020. And Lord, as we look forward to a new year, we pray that you would make this a very different year than the year behind us. Lord, restore normalcy, I pray, to our lives, to our world, to our families. Father, please, we pray this vaccine would bring this terrible coronavirus pandemic to an end, and we could again travel and see friends and be with family and all of that. Lord, and now we commit our time in the Word of God to you. We pray you would use it in our hearts and lives, and this is a great passage for a new year. So use it in our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said in my prayer, we have a passage today. We're going back to our study of the Gospels, and we have a passage today that really is a wonderful passage with which to begin a new year, with which to maybe consider some New Year's resolutions and some New Year's changes in our walk with Christ. And we find that passage in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 9. So, without any further ado, let's use the King James, the New King James Version of the Bible, and let's pick up here in Luke chapter 9. Now, remember, a text without a context is a pretext. So Jesus getting ready now to head to Jerusalem here in Luke's gospel for his crucifixion and to purchase the plan of salvation for us. And I want to pick up in verse 51. Here we go. And it came to pass when the time had come that he should be received up, Jesus, into heaven, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him, these advanced people. And the Samaritans did not receive him because his face was set as though he would go to Jerusalem. So they said, they rejected him. They said, no, we don't want Jesus in town. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? 1 Kings 18, you remember the story, I hope. Elijah called down fire in his contest with the prophets of Baal and Asherah. And do you want us to call down fire and burn them up? But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. You don't know what this is all about. For the Son of Man, Jesus, has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. Now, that's not our passage for today, but it sets up the context. Jesus is now headed to Jerusalem with the cross in front of him, knowing what awaits him there. And he said, fellas, I came to save people. I didn't come to burn them up and scorch them with fire from heaven. Don't you understand? Don't you understand what the operating principle is of me being here? No. So they didn't receive me, but we hope that their hearts will change one day, Jesus said. Okay, now, with that introduction, we come to our passage, and they're heading towards Jerusalem now for the cross, verse 57. And it came to pass, as they went along the road, that a certain man said to Jesus, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Now, this passage that we're looking at does not lay out the requirements for salvation. The requirements for salvation are very simple. The Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 said, "Sirs," to Paul and Silas, "what must I do to be saved?" And the answer, Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Put your trust. Remember last week we talked about this. Rely on what Jesus Christ is going to do for you or enacts has done for you on the cross, and you will be saved. So this passage we're looking at has nothing to do with being a believer in Jesus. It has to do with being a disciple. This is very different. I mean, you can be a citizen of the United States without being a Marine. And you can be a follower of Jesus without being a disciple. A disciple is a step up. You know, I love the Marines, the few, the proud, the Marines. And we used to always, on July 4th weekend, play a medley of all the service hymns. And we'd always save the Marine hymn for last because I love the Marines. And I love how they would stand at attention. And the Marines are a cut above your average person. And they know it and they're proud of it. And so a disciple is a cut above just a person who believes in Jesus. And so what we're looking at here are the requirements to be a disciple. And there are three that the Lord Jesus points out. And the first one is this, that this person's problem here was creature comforts. He said, "I'll follow you, Lord, anywhere." And Jesus, seeing his heart, said, Oh, yeah? Okay, well, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but I don't have anywhere to lay my head. Now, I've got no money, I've got no power, I've got no creature comforts, I don't even have a mattress, Jesus said. You want to be my disciple? You got to put every material thing you own onto the altar. All those creature comforts. And I may not ask for all of them from you, Jesus said, but you've got to be willing to give them if I do. And if necessary, sleep on the ground like I do. So this is the first requirement. Creature comforts have got to mean less to us than following the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember Jim Elliot, the great missionary to the Aka Indians who gave his life to reach them. They killed him before they then had a revival. And he said, Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep, all of our creature comforts around us, to gain what he cannot lose." That is the rewards of God for being a disciple. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. This is number one. All right. Second, look in verse 59. And he said to another, "Follow me. Come be my disciple." But the man said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." You say, "Well, what is this?" Well, these are family ties. The best way to understand this is that his father was not dead. Jesus would not stop a man from going and burying his father and then coming right back. No, his father was not dead. And this man was going to go back until his father died. And why would he do that? Because obviously his father and maybe the rest of his family would not agree with him leaving to go follow Jesus. His father would looked at Jesus as being too radical and didn't, it was not popular for his son to say in the house, "I'm going to go follow Jesus." And so this man says, "Look, let me go back. and let me smooth over the waters at home, and let me, you know, just kind of let my mom and dad finish their life out without the stress of getting upset that I'm coming to follow you, Jesus, in an all-out way, and then I'll be back. And Jesus says, no, you let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. If your father is against me, your mother is against me, they're spiritually dead. Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. You come and follow me. And so this second requirement is that Jesus not only has got to mean more to a disciple than creature comforts, earthly creature comforts, he's also got to mean more to us than our family. You remember Jesus said, Matthew chapter 10, I'll put it up on the screen here for you. Jesus said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So Jesus has got to mean more than our family ties. And third, back to Luke chapter 9, look at this. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell who are at my house. And Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, what's the third requirement? Well, the third requirement here is that Jesus has to be our only loyalty. This man had divided loyalties. This man had, as we often say, you know, one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. He wanted to go back to his old lifestyle and his old friends and wanted to spend some time with them. And Jesus said, no, you can't plow a straight furrow if you're always looking back over your shoulder for whatever it might be. And you can't be a disciple of mine if you're always looking back at your old lifestyle. No, remember Lot's wife. You know, that's the second shortest verse in the Bible. The first shortest verse is Jesus wept, two words. The next shortest verse is three words, remember Lot's wife. And if you know the story from the book of Genesis, the angels came to Sodom and Gomorrah and delivered Lot and his wife and their two daughters before fire and brimstone fell on Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed the cities. But as they were leaving with the angels, Lot's wife looked back. Why? Because she pined for the lifestyle and for the way she was living when she was there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And what did God do? He turned her into a pillar of salt. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. No looking backwards. You give your life to me and you want to be a disciple, there's no looking backwards. It's got to be full loyalty to me, and you've got to forsake your old lifestyle and embrace a new lifestyle of following me. So that's our passage for today, but it leads to our most important question. And are you ready? This is the first one of the new year. So you ready? Let's make it a good one. Come on, Al. One, two, three, so what? Yeah. First one of the new year. And so wonderful after my brush with death, being able to be back teaching the word of God with you. So you know what we say when we can still scream, so what? We say, come on, say it with me now. How what? How sweet it is. Yes. Now, this is a wonderful passage for a new year. I didn't purposely pick it out for this week. It's just our next passage. We're going through the Bible, going through the Gospels. But what a wonderful passage, because it really sets a tone for us as followers of Christ for the new year. Jesus just doesn't want us to be a believer. That's good. That gets us into heaven, that forgives our sins. But Jesus is looking for disciples. Jesus is looking for people who will take their relationship with him so seriously that he can call them a disciple. And this coming year, Friends, I want you to be a disciple. Jesus wants you to be a disciple. I want myself to be a disciple. And what does it take to be a disciple? What should be our aim, our goal? What should we strive for in this new year in our walk with Christ? Well, Jesus told us the three things it takes not to be a citizen, but to be a Marine in the kingdom of God. All right, what are they? Number one, Jesus said, we have got to love him more than material things, more than creature comforts. Look, folks, there's nothing wrong with creature comforts. If God blesses you with creature comforts, great. A nice house, a nice car, a nice income, nice clothes, nice shoes, nice furniture, nice golf clubs, a nice tennis racket, whatever it is. Great. No problem. Listen, Abraham was one of the richest men in the world in his day. And God blessed him with all those riches. And Abraham was a wonderful disciple. Hey, no problem. And we should not apologize for the blessing of God on our lives. But we always must maintain an attitude that if Jesus were ever to ask us to give him up for him, we would. That no creature comfort means more to us than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And sometimes he does ask people to give up creature comforts. Sometimes he calls people to be missionaries and go to places where there aren't very many creature comforts that they have anymore. Sometimes, you know, God calls us to walk away from creature comforts because of a problem in our job where we have to act unethically, and God wants us to walk away, and or other things. I mean, the point is, if God asks us to give up a creature comfort or all of our creature comforts for him, then we, to be a disciple, must be willing to do that. I remember when I first came to Christ, Bob Eckhart said to me, you need to leave Chapel Hill if you're ever going to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus. You got to get out of this town. That's where I went to school, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, University of North Carolina, Tar Heels. Yeah. And I did that. Now, I didn't have a ton of creature comforts in Chapel Hill, but I had some. And I had a bed. I had furniture. I had clothes. I mean, I had some things there in town, a motorcycle that I rode. It was my friend's, but I rode it all the time and I loved it, a bicycle, all kinds of stuff. But I gave it all away or sold it all, put everything in a knapsack. Half of the knapsack belonged to my dog, Noah, who went with me, and we left town and off we went. Jesus asked me to do that. And to be a disciple, I had to do it. Now, that's a little unusual for God to send a person out of town like that. But it doesn't matter. He asked for it, and I gave it to him. And that's the way I have to continue to be over the years as God's given me creature comforts. Sometimes it gets harder. The more creature comforts you get, the harder it is. I didn't have that many in Chapel Hill. I've got more now. But it doesn't matter. Our attitude needs to never change. We need to love the Lord more than them. Now, number two is our family. Hey, you know what? We dread it. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. I remember my family. You talk about a family being against my following Christ, my Jewish family. And they remained, for the most part, except for my mother and father, against it. I had an uncle who tried never to speak to me if he could help it for 40 years. And an aunt, my mother's sister, who despised me and wouldn't even let me come to my mother's funeral at her home. You know, this happened to the guy who established the American Board of Missions to the Jews, Rabbi Leopold Cohen. His whole family in Hungary sent him letters with a little piece of black ribbon in it, except for his wife, saying, you're dead to us. You're dead to us because of your faith in Christ. But folks, you don't have to have a Jewish family to do this. I mean, a lot of times our parents or our brother or our sister or even a wife or a husband thinks we're nuts when we tell her or him that we're going to follow Christ in a radical way, the way he calls us to follow them. And we have to be willing to say, look, I mean, I love you. You're my mother. You're my father, my sister, my brother, my wife, my husband. But you can't take me to heaven. Jesus can. I'll stick with him. You can't forgive my sins. Jesus can. I'll stick with him. You don't run the universe. Jesus does. I'll stick with him. That's something often that people have to do. And animus in our family is not unusual, whether it's a Jewish family or not a Jewish family, when we really get serious about following Christ, but we have to be willing to do it. Finally, we have to give Jesus undivided loyalty. Undivided loyalty. Loyalty over everything. And we can't look back at our old lifestyle and pine for it and desire it. No, our loyalty has to be completely to the Lord Jesus Christ and the new life that he's calling us to live. If any creature is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, 2 Corinthians 5:17. New things, behold, have come. It's a new life, a supernatural life in Christ that we're called to, not our old life. And looking back at our old life, like Lot's wife did, is an insult to the Lord. I had a guy who, and a girl come in and meet with me. They were engaged. And I said, what's the problem? And the young lady said, the problem is his old girlfriend. He keeps talking to her and calling her. And he even took her to New York for a weekend, although he says nothing happened. And I said, what are you doing to him? And he said, well, she's a friend. I don't want to lose a friend. I want to marry my fiance, but I don't want to lose a friend. And I took her to New York because she was feeling kind of down about me being engaged. So I took her to, and I'm like, what? I'm like, what? Are you crazy? The girl had every right to be upset. When you marry somebody, you say goodbye to all your old girlfriends and all your old lovers. I'm sorry. If you're not willing to do that and focus completely on your wife, then you're not ready to get married. And friends, she had every right to be jealous. And the same way with the Lord, the Bible says he's a jealous God. And when we give our life to Christ and we become disciples of Jesus, all our old loves, we've got to turn our back on all of those old loves and forsake them. Or we're not ready to be a disciple of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? And this is a challenge for some of us. Our old lifestyle, we obviously liked it because we were living it, whether it was playing golf on Sunday morning, but now Jesus calls us to go to church on Sunday morning, whether it was going to the bar after work and hanging out with the guys and drinking and getting drunk. No, Jesus calls us to a life of temperance, whether it was an old, you know, partying lifestyle and everything that goes with it, or drugs or womenizing or whatever it was. No, no. And looking back and pining for, oh, my old lifestyle. This is what the Hebrews did in the wilderness. Let us go back to Egypt. Oh, we miss the leeks, and we miss the onions, and we miss the garlic, and we miss the bad breath. Yeah, and we miss all of that. And boy, was God mad at him. Yes, he was. Why? Because you don't look back when you come to Christ. I love the story in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 19, about Elisha. When Elijah the prophet called Elisha to be the prophet, to replace him. You know, Elisha was out in the field plowing with oxen and a plow. And you know, you know what he did? He went right back into town, called all the town together. He took the plow and cut it up, Elisha did, and made a bonfire. And then he took the oxen that he'd been plowing with and he killed them and he put them above the fire and roasted them and served the meat to all of his friends. You say, well, I don't understand. Why would he do that? Friends, he cut up the plow and killed his oxen as a symbol that he wasn't coming back to his old life. He wasn't coming back to farming, so he didn't need a plow. He wasn't coming back to farming, so he didn't need the oxen. Once he had committed to follow Elijah and be a prophet of God, there was no looking back. And so that's why he sacrificed the oxen and built the altar as a statement to his friends and to himself and to the Lord. Hey, there's no going back. I'm not going back. Folks, that's the kind of commitment the Lord Jesus is looking for from you and me. He wants that kind of monolithic commitment to him, not a divided heart. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6? Listen to what he said. Jesus said, "For no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the things of this world." I'm sorry. And so it's one or the other. And gosh, I told you I had to leave Chapel Hill. But what I left behind was my old lifestyle. And with all of the sin and all of the disgusting things that I did in my old lifestyle. And when Bob Eckhart challenged me to leave, he challenged me to leave not just my creature comforts, but he challenged me to leave my old lifestyle and adopt a new lifestyle. And friends, this is what a disciple has to do. Doesn't mean everything in your whole life has to change, but it certainly means that the parts of your lifestyle that were dishonoring to Jesus before you made your commitment to be a disciple, you got to walk away from them. And there's no looking back and saying, "Ooh, I wish I could be back partying. Ooh, I wish I could be back drinking with the guys. Ooh, no, then you're not ready to be a disciple, my friend." Well, for the new year, I believe, in conclusion, that ought to be our goal. This should be our aspiration, to be a fully committed, sold out disciple of Jesus, a Marine for the Lord Jesus Christ. Which means, in order to do that, we've got to be more loyal to him than we are our creature comforts, and willing to walk away from any creature comfort if he ever asks us to, without complaint. Number two, we have to be more loyal to Jesus than we are our family. And number three, we have to be more loyal to Jesus than we are to our old lifestyle and way of living. And we are willing to walk away from that old lifestyle if it dishonors Christ, and not pine to go back to it. It's ancient history. I'll close with just a little vignette. When I first came to Washington, I went to work for the Good News Mission in Arlington, Virginia. It's a prison ministry. And often I would have to drive their Econoline van out to houses where people wanted to donate furniture or other things to the Good News Mission, either that we would use in the halfway house we had there, if it was furniture or whatever, or that we would sell and use the money that they would, not me. I was just the janitor there. And so Bill Simmer, my good buddy who's with the Lord now, the man who established the Good News Mission, he would send me out to go get these things. And often I would have to go to places like McLean and Great Falls of Virginia and Potomac, Maryland. If you're not familiar with the Washington, D.C. area, these places are like Beverly Hills, you know, is to L.A. And man, I would ride through there. I had a pair of jeans on and an old work shirt, and I had nothing. I had a bed in the halfway house where they put up prisoners right out of jail, and that was it. I had a pair of boots, maybe an extra pair of jeans, and I, all these houses, these monstrous houses, were there. And I would look at these houses, and I would have to be honest. Part of me kind of pined for a wonderful house like that one day, and I would have to fight it. And one day I said that, I told Mr. Simmer, my boss, that I was struggling with this a little bit. I love what he said to me. He said, "Lon, all those things are, he said, they're just a lot of big houses full of a lot of lost people." And I thought, wow, man, that's the perspective. A lot of big houses full of a lot of lost people. You really want to trade places with them, Lon? You really want to go back to being a lost person before you met Christ? And boy, did that help me. I'd ride around and I'd see it and I'd look at a house and I'd go, just a big house with a lot of lost people in it. Folks, let's try to be disciples this year. We all fail here and there. I know. We all sometimes, that loyalty to the Lord over these things is not as strong as we look back and we wish we had been. That's okay. We can always try to do better. Loyalty to the Lord above material things. Loyalty to the Lord above family. Loyalty to the Lord above our former lifestyle and the things of this world. That's a disciple. And let's aim to be one in 2021. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ, which we've just celebrated here at Christmas. And thank you that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And it's just that simple. But Lord, I also thank you that you're looking for people who take their walk with you more seriously than simply putting their trust in what you did on the cross. You're looking for disciples. You're looking for spiritual Marines. So Lord Jesus, help us to gird up our loins and to be those men and women who are willing to take on that set of values that it takes to be your disciple. And help us to remember what Jim Elliot said, that we're no fool for giving up what we can't keep. We can't keep our creature comforts. We can't keep our family. If they don't believe, we can't keep our old lifestyle when we go to heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for reminding us he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain the rewards of heaven, which he cannot lose ever. Give us that same attitude this year. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay. Well, we certainly thank you for being with us on Live with Lon. We hope we'll see you next week. Remember what we do here, the Bible. What is it? Come on. The whole Bible, nothing but the Bible. Don't forget, we're planning to go to the Holy Land in April, and we would love for you to go with us. Check it out on our website, LonSolomonMinistries.com. God bless you, and we'll see you next week, Lord willing.